Well, parents who were dealing with children exhibiting ADHD symptoms were given some disturbing and probably quite confusing news last week that the conventional drugs they've been using are ineffective. The West Australian RAIN ADHD study made international headlines last week with its conclusion that stimulant medications for treatment of ADHD, including Ritalin and dexamphetamine, failed to offer any significant long-term academic, social or emotional benefits to the children using it and had no significant effects on depression or social functioning in the 14-year-olds they studied. So where does this leave parents searching for answers and help? Professor Karen Phelps is the president of the Australasian Integrative Medicine Association, which recommends multidisciplinary and lifestyle approaches as frontline therapy for ADHD. Karen Phelps, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, you've worked for many, many years as a GP. You were head of the AMA for a long time. Were you shocked as a medical practitioner at those findings last week in that survey that suggests that drugs like Ritalin, which have been prescribed for so long now, are actually ineffective or worse?
I'm very concerned, as many doctors will be, to hear that the prescription of these medications doesn't confer the long-term benefits that had been promised or that I think many parents and doctors had hoped. And I think that this is going to be really just the beginning of a very long search for the best way to manage these children. There is a lot of evidence on other ways of managing ADHD, and I think that this needs to be now considered to be first line in view of this research.
And I'll come to that in a moment, but I'm just interested in your observation. Now, I know it's this study itself was only with 131 ADHD youngsters, but in your front line witnessing of kids with ADHD and using drugs, did you ever wonder whether the drugs were effective or in fact as this survey seems to have found, counterproductive in some ways?
I've always looked to trying other alternative ways of managing ADHD symptoms first and foremost. And of course there are some children where the symptoms are so severe in the short term that the parents really need to have some kind of treatment that will give them some short-term relief. And there is definitely a place for medication in that. But I do think that there are other ways that need to be looked at for both parents and for the children's long-term benefit in order to manage these difficult symptoms. But it really requires a complete overhaul of the way we view the management of ADHD, and that includes the quite high number of children who are prescribed these medications when they're young.
There's more and more kids with ADHD, and it's a very difficult thing for families to manage. But for a long time, there has been some basic truths, I think, like you shouldn't give kids red cordial, you should look at what kind of preservatives are added in food. These sorts of things, are they what you're talking about? And some of these surely are already being taken up by many parents with their kids.
There is a lot of research that is around now, which fortunately we can rely on to provide some advice, but it does take a comprehensive effort by parents and by the children themselves to try to manage their way through this condition. And it's not just a matter of, here you go, take some Ritalin, take some dexamphetamine, and everything will be fine down the track and there won't be any more problems
for
you.
Which you wish it was, because that would be easy.
It would be terrific if that was the way it was, but it's not. And I think even when children are taking medication, I think these other measures are going to be an essential part of integrating their management so that they do get better outcomes in terms of depression and self-assessment and school academic performance and all of the things that this research is telling us that the medications don't provide in the long term.
So what are the measures?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is to look at children having more activities outdoors in a natural environment, like out in the park, down at the beach, bushwalking, out amongst nature, because there's so many children who spend most of their lives indoors with activities including computer games and television and just not getting outside. Yoga therapy. Now, how do we get yoga therapy to lots of children in groups and in a way that's affordable for parents? Avoiding television. There's research that's shown that children who spend a lot of time in childhood watching television have greater problems with attention when they get to adolescence. Sorting out sleep problems. That can be a huge problem for children with behaviour problems if they can't sleep properly, if they're very restless. correcting their diet. Many, many children, even if they're normal weight, are nutritionally deficient in areas like omega-3. How many kids eat three or four fish meals a week? It's something that we need to address.
All of this, let's be real here, much more difficult to do sometimes with kids that do have ADHD. It's harder to get them outdoors. It's harder to get them to focus on what they're going to eat and play ball. It's harder to get them away from the television sometimes. It's a difficult management issue.
It really is an investment in time and energy by the parents. And I think that what a lot of parents suffer from is exhaustion in dealing with these children and frustration. But it does require a great deal of support. And that's why I think we do need a multifactorial approach. These parents do need some support from the health system in a way that they're not receiving at the moment. But they also need to have a look at the way they are managing their children in terms of the food that the children access. You mentioned the red cordials before. Now, it's not just about the obvious things like that, but if you look at almost any processed food that you get off the shelves in Australia, you will see that it can contain a lot of additives and colourings and preservatives. So there's going to need to be an investment in time in terms of buying fresh food and preparing fresh food for children and not relying on processed and fast food.
Okay. Karen Phelps, before I let you go, can I get your reaction to the news from the British Parliamentary report this week calling for homeopathy to be removed from the NHS, the public funding that it's currently supports it because, quote, it's scientifically implausible. This was the findings of a parliamentary committee that says at the moment, quote, we are actually hoodwinking individual patients, giving treatment the NHS knows does not work. What's your response to that and the response of the Integrative Medicine Association in terms of the effectiveness of homeopathy?
I think it's fair to say that homeopathy is not as popular in Australia as it is in the UK, and I think
but it is growing in popularity.
It is popular and in amongst a lot of people within the community. And I think where it suffers is that it hasn't had research funding applied to it in the same way as other forms of therapies have. And I think it's probably unfair to toss out an entire system of healthcare based on the fact that it hasn't had sufficient evidence gained through research and research funding. And so there's been a very vitriolic and very intense campaign in the UK against homeopathy, and I don't think it's the end of that particular story, but there are entire hospitals that are set up around homeopathy in the UK, so it would be a very large cultural shift.
All right. Karen Phelps, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor Karen Phelps is the president of the Australasian Integrative Medicine Association.